Welcome to the Pink Cloud Podcast. In this weekly podcast, we offer a supportive space where women share their personal experiences of getting sober and navigating sobriety while being young. In each episode, we deliver an amazing combination of heart-to-hearts and informative interviews with sober women without judgment. This podcast is about of necessity for like-minded women trying to seek and maintain sobriety while achieving more in their lives. Whether it's in sobriety, relationships, career, spirituality, mental health, or health and wellness. Created with sobriety, recovery, and sisterhood in mind, the Pink Cloud Podcast unites the voices of phenomenal women as we share deep and inspiring conversations of hope for a bright future.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm the host of the Pink Cloud Podcast, and I wanted to share my story today as to why I started the podcast and a little bit about my sobriety journey, my journey in recovery. And I hope that with me sharing my story, that I can inspire others who are struggling along their journey or just to help them along with their journey, just like other people helped me. So I hope you get something out of it. I stopped drinking at the age of 25, and I didn't think that I was an alcoholic because I didn't fit the mold of what I believed an alcoholic was. I thought that an alcoholic was an old man that was living underneath the bridge, who was drinking alcohol out of a brown paper bag and who had burned through all their resources and was just drinking to die. So I thought that's what an alcoholic was. I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic. I was 25 years old. I'm a female, and I came from a relatively normal upbringing and had average family. So there was nothing out of the ordinary, no crazy traumatic things that happened to me when I was young to make me be, an alcoholic. And just because you have trauma doesn't necessarily mean that you are an alcoholic. And just because you don't have trauma doesn't necessarily mean that you can't turn out to be an alcoholic either, which is something that I learned. So, my drinking, I started early age drinking. I liked how it made me feel. So I drank. My drinking towards the end of my drinking was pretty much, I drank every day. So I drank daily. I would drink Monday through Thursday. Pretty much I would go to work. I'd get off work and then I would start drinking. I drank pretty heavily, but most of the weekday drinking was pretty well contained because I did work. And Thursday would roll around and I would drink after work and I would maybe or maybe not come into work on Friday. I drank Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pretty much around the clock. I didn't drink in the morning though, because only alcoholics drink in the morning, right? So I would wake up and kind of come to, and then I would start my drinking when I would start my day. So weekends, I pretty much drank and partied all weekend because that's what you do when you're in your 20s, right? That's totally normal. I had owned a real estate and mortgage business, which I still do. So this was in end of 2007 into 2008. I owned this real estate and mortgage company and the market started to take a turn and we got hit really, really hard. So business is crashing down. Along with business crashing down, I had my mom was getting divorced from my stepdad. I had other close family members dealing with health issues. I'd gone through a breakup. So all of these things were a perfect storm for me. And just a lot of negativity, a lot of crazy things happening at the same time. And what I did was I drank. So I turned immediately to the bottle. I saw people around me that were kind of functioning. And even though we're in this crisis, right, this real estate, this mortgage meltdown, this financial crisis, and all of these terrible things going on, I saw people that were managing to navigate their way through it. And I wasn't. So I crashed along with the market. I couldn't function and I had no skills on how to cope. And what I had been doing was just drinking. And that eventually stopped working. So I found myself in detox and it's really what I needed. That was the break that I needed. And just to have that moment or that time in my life to where I could hit the pause button, I felt so much relief and hope and just security and safety when I was in this detox, because it was like, oh my gosh, there is an answer and I don't ever have to drink again. I didn't think up until that moment that I was an alcoholic. I didn't think that alcohol was my problem. I really felt that circumstances were my problem. I felt that, putting all of this pressure on myself at such a young age. And I pretty much painted myself into a corner with my career because I didn't design it in a way that I could ever step out of the business. So I really had to continue day to day to keep this machine going that I created. And it had faltered anyway. So I'm like, okay, I have this sense of freedom, this new freedom, because now I know the answer. I just have to stop drinking for a little bit. And I don't need to be tied to that business any longer. I could really do whatever I want, which was so nice, that feeling. And while I was in detox, I had this thought that I'm going to be a flight attendant now. So I'm going to leave that career behind. I'm going to go be a flight attendant. And after I got out, so I spent 7 days in detox. When I got out, I had the pink cloud, the euphoria, that feeling of, oh my gosh, everything just was just so heightened. I could see things clearly. I would look up at the sky and I would see the clouds. And I remember driving and just looking at the trees and the leaves on the tree. And I would hear things I never heard. And I would see things and the smell and the taste and all of these senses I had were heightened because I had been not really paying attention to those senses because I've been drowning with alcohol or just not paying attention to them. So, you know, you take out the alcohol, I was like riding on this pink cloud. And all the while I thought, I don't ever want to drink again. I feel so great that I'm not going to drink again because why would I go back to drinking? That was pure hell. At the end, it was pure hell. And I would attend a couple of recovery meetings a week and really make a community out of it. But I definitely liked what I heard. And I definitely got a lot out of those meetings that I would go to. And, you know, I'd read some of the recovery stuff and I was doing a lot of self-help type things and I was doing praying and meditation and affirmations and a lot of that self-help stuff that really, you know, that helped me, that was really, really helping me. At that time, I knew that I had a problem with alcohol, but I wasn't identifying as an alcoholic at the time. It was circumstances. I felt like it's circumstances, but I didn't want to drink either. So I was in the space of, it was circumstances that made me drink heavily up until that point, but I'm not convinced that, you know, that I have an alcohol addiction. I'm not an alcoholic, but I know enough to know that I should probably hit the pause button and just not really think about drinking and kind of take that off the table. And that's what I did. So I moved out of state to become a flight attendant and I had a 6-week training and I didn't drink throughout that whole training because I knew that how I drank and I knew that I would never finish and it would completely destroy it. So that gave me also a false sense of control over my drinking because I was intentionally not drinking when I could and I didn't do it. And I finished up that training. A couple months later, I thought I had everything figured out. So I was reading self-help books. I was praying, meditating. I found affirmations and the law of attraction and bringing all this positivity into your life. And I felt that I had enough knowledge of my condition and I had enough wisdom to know how to control my drinking. So what I did is I planned to drink again. So I mentally planned it and which now I know that it was an obsession, right? I wasn't planning it. I was thinking about it like day in and day out, which was really obsessing about drinking. So yeah, so I was obsessing about drinking and I planned out my drink again. It was Christmas Eve and I'm living in a different state away from my family. And this is the first time I'd ever been away from my family for the holidays. So I'm kind of sad and thought, you know, this is a perfect reason to drink. So what I did is I practiced my controlled drinking because in some of the literature I had read, you can try controlled drinking. And if you can do it, then you're not an alcoholic. I thought that was a great idea. So I was going to have 2 drinks. I was going to have 2 glasses of wine because wine isn't as strong as, you know, hard alcohol. So I'll just have some wine and be like a good drinker. So I had my first glass of wine. And I felt okay. I had my second glass of wine and I started feeling loose and all of my plan completely went out the window because if you feel good, why not feel better? So I had a 3rd glass. And after that, I left the building and this disease, you know, or this ism, this monster inside of me completely took over. So after drink 3, you know, the wine's gone and I'm drinking, you know, beer and a shot. And I was back to worse than I was before. I had absolutely no control over it. You know, I thought that I could. I really had thought that, and I planned it. I really thought that I just have 2 drinks and then that's it. And then I will stop. But that all went out the window. So I know that one, it's not the first drink that got me, it was the second drink. So yeah, that continued my drinking. And then for the next 6 months, it was pretty much like that. It was, I would go on a bender, I would drink for a week, and then I'd stop for a week. And I would drink for a day, and then I would stop for a week. I'd stop for a month. You know, I could always manage to stop drinking. I could always manage to put some time together, but I could never stay stopped. Nothing would happen or something would happen, but I just couldn't do it. I just could not stay stopped drinking. Until my very last drunk, I had not been drinking for about a week, and I went out boating. We're at the dock and I see a beer, and I had absolutely no control and I had no defense. I think it maybe crossed my mind it wasn't a good idea, but I picked up that drink, and it was like morning, you know, a little bit before noon. So it was like 10, 11 o'clock. And I started drinking. I drank all day. By the afternoon, you know, people I'm supposed to be contacting or calling me like, hey, where are you at? And I turned my phone off because I don't want to hear anything about my drinking. I drank all day, daytime went into nighttime. So I continued to drink all night. I ended up in a different city, and it's 2:30 in the morning. And I decided to turn my phone back on and probably call the boyfriend at the time that I had that I lived with, maybe check in because he hadn't heard from me since, you know, 10 a.m. And he probably knew I was drinking. So, you know, it was the weirdest thing. He was so mad. It was 2:30 and I was just calling him. And I mean, I couldn't believe, like, aren't you happy to hear from me? I mean, I'm checking in. Yeah, it is 2:30 and I'm not coming home and I'm in a different city, but you know, hey, I'm checking in. You should be happy. He didn't like that too much. So the next day when I woke up, I thought that I might be crazy. And I might be a crazy person and I probably need some help, because I knew that probably normal people don't do that. Normal people probably don't go out for, you know, a couple hours on the boat and then end up binge drinking and in a different city and then not coming home to the place that they live. So I thought, you know, I probably need to get to a meeting. So that's what I did. I went to a meeting. And I was so shocked that that boyfriend of mine didn't believe that I was going to stay sober. He had said that, you know, I kept going in and out and I couldn't stay sober, and he didn't believe me. And then he actually told me to get out. So I really had to take a look at myself, and I'm so thankful for that relationship because it really did make me look at myself. I really did have a mirror in front of me saying, hey, this is crazy behavior and you're probably not normal. So I went to a meeting. And I heard a lot of great things and a lot of things I really related to. You know, that night I didn't drink again. And then I didn't drink the next day. And I started talking to other sober people and sober people that I had met before when I was going in and out. And they were still sober. They weren't in the misery that I was in. They weren't in the pain that I was in. And they were functioning. And I felt like I could barely function. So I would go to meetings. I ended up doing a 6-week outpatient, which was great. So it was through a dialectical behavioral therapy. It was group therapy and I absolutely loved it. So that in combination with 12-step meetings really saved my life. And that was in 2008. So to date, it has been 13 years and 11 months that I've been sober. And I really think that I had to hit the bottom that I hit, and I really did have to do the experimenting that I had to do in order to realize that I am in fact an alcoholic, that I cannot drink normally because I tried it. And I know it doesn't have to happen. People can just quit drinking and hit a bottom and just never pick up again. And that's good for them. And it just wasn't a part of my story. And I know this now, that I had to try every way imaginable to drink like a normal person in order to prove to myself that I couldn't, because I'd always have that question in my mind that, am I really an alcoholic? Are all these people just making me say I'm an alcoholic? Like, I think they're just trying to brainwash me into thinking that. But the fact is that I am, and I tried to do it and I couldn't. So I've stayed sober one day at a time by helping other people, by sharing my experience. But I still do all the self-help things and I still do all of that. But what is different now is that I have to help other people as well. Helping yourself is great and it's, you know, fundamental, in our addiction and curing our addiction or helping our addiction or receiving, you know, renunciation from our addiction. But it's that missing component is working with others. I know that anytime that I talk to another alcoholic or help another alcoholic, that I'm giving myself some insurance, and they may or may not drink again. But I know for that day, I'm highly unlikely to take a drink if I'm just telling another alcoholic how to stay sober. So I hope that you all get something out of this. I really hope that you enjoy this podcast. My hopes are that I can bring other women to share their experiences, to share just little pieces of information to help you on your journey or to inspire you. And I hope to meet a lot of you along the way as we trudge the road of our happy destiny. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Pink Cloud Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we really appreciate it. We'll catch you in the next episode.